is the PNB Technology Committee meeting for October the 17th, 2007. And I'd ask Rob Robinson to roll. I think we don't have quorum yet, so that I should announce that this is a meeting that we're launching in the fashion of the committee as a whole. So, Rob, would you take roll?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. Mary Berg, Sherry Gendelman, Henry Knorr.
Here.
Thank you. David Adelson.
Here.
Ali Lexa. Fernando Velasquez. Michael Woodson.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Alfonso Rivera. Lisa Davis. Lisa asked to be excused, I'm sorry. Andrea Fishman. Vajra Kilgour.
Here.
Rob Robinson is here. Ann Hislop. Michelle Smith. Rip Robbins. Staff members, John Almella.
Here.
Pete Caracas.
Here.
Okay. Mr. Chair, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six members of the committee out of a required 15. We do not have quorum. We can continue this meeting as a committee of the whole.
All right.
Until we achieve quorum or for the balance of the time.
And I want to make note that if two members join us, we'll have quorum and we can convene as an official committee. Also, I believe that this is the first time that the technology committee has fallen short of its quorum. A sad day.
Point of information, don't you have 16 members?
Yes, thank you, John. That is, in fact, correct. We do have 16, including the affiliate member, Rip Robbins. Thank you for correcting my arithmetic.
That's okay.
All right. So we're gonna approve the agenda, and I will I'll ask if anyone needs me to send out another copy of that, and I will ask if anyone wants to add or adjust it in any way.
Yeah, I'd like to adjust something.
Okay, go ahead, John.
The second line under staff reports, preparedness for backups and emergencies, PRSS link. That wasn't actually what I was going to talk about. I could talk about that also, but I was really going to talk about redundant backups for KU and especially for the first seat of Democracy Now. But if you'd like me to talk about those others, I can probably cobble something together.
Yeah, whatever you need to. I took those terms from our in-person meeting in Berkeley, and so I put the phrase preparedness for backups and emergencies down in a note that I got from someone. Well, actually, it was from Nicole.
Okay.
Yeah,
we can talk about.
I'm not sure, you know, what that means or if that's particular language, but I was going to give it a try, and if it's not kind of language we need to pursue, then we can do whatever else. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's where that came from.
Mr. Chair, we have new members joining the call.
Yes, my name is Alfonso Rivera. I'm sorry I'm late.
Hi, Alfonso.
Well, thank you, Alfonso.
Good being here.
Andrea Fishman, likewise.
All right. So we have quorum.
We now have quorum, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Yes. You guys so rock. All right. So.
Excuse me. Point of order. I think John's point was that we require 9 to reach quorum, not 8.
Oh, right. We do.
I count 9.
John and Pete don't count toward quorum.
Oh, that's right.
Right, we have Henry Knorr, David Adelson, Michael Woodson, Bill Crozier, Alfonso Rivera, Andrea Fishman, Vajra Kilgour, Rob Robinson, and that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, I don't know that there will be a motion coming forward. If anybody has one in mind, maybe we can call Rip or other people. I got a note from Ollie. as everyone did, who said he can't make it. I'm going to leave it at that. If we need to pursue another person for the committee, then we can. All right. By phone. So, any other adjustments to the agenda? Anybody want to say anything else? Okay, then I don't know if the minutes got sent out.
I have not completed the minutes. I sent out what I have so far, but I'm trying to reconcile some things in the later parts of the minutes, Mr. Chair, so I'd like to complete that later this week.
Were you on the call for what was last month, September?
September the 19th. Yes, I was, Mr. Chair.
You're taking notes. All right, so those aren't ready to go, and therefore we won't approve them. All right, let's move on to staff report. Pete's not here. He's not going to be here tonight.
Is that right, John? I thought he was on the call, Mr. Chair.
Oh, you are here, Pete? Okay. Who do we want to start with, Pete or John? I don't care.
Are we having a meeting? Is that what's happening?
Yes, we are.
Oh, cause we don't have quorum?
We're doing a committee. What's it called?
Committee of the whole.
Committee of the whole.
And what does that mean? It's just a discussion?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, can I clarify? Quorum.
I think we have quorum now, but Dave, go ahead and clarify.
Yeah, committee of the whole, you can meet as a committee of the whole. You can even conduct business, but that business, any motions that you approve don't take effect until a meeting with quorum adopts the work of the committee of the whole. It's a way to proceed with your work and not just get hamstrung.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, we've been joined now by Mary Berg. We now have the requisite 9 members, which it constitutes quorum for the committee. So we're in full committee session, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Let's go to John and have him give his report.
Okay. Do you not want to take the role now that we've convened?
We took the role,
Mary.
Oh, before it was a quorum.
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry.
Okay, John.
Okay, let's give an update. We're going to talk about inventories first. Okay. Well, you got to realize that we don't have as much money to do needs assessment or inventories as we would like. An inventory is a hardware inventory. A fairly large job. So what I've been doing right now is I've been collecting inventories from the stations. I got one from KPFA while I was there. So we have the hardware inventory for that, and I'm trying to collect them from the other stations as well. It'll probably have to wait for some of the stations until I get back from vacation. I'm on vacation as of tonight. But probably two of the stations, the two East Coast stations, we're probably going to have to do full hardware inventories because I don't think that they have up-to-date inventories of the type that we would need. This is not something that one person can do. If you look around your rooms there and you see how much stuff you have, well, radio stations have a whole lot more stuff than a regular person. To inventory it, to get the make, model numbers, serial numbers, the date it's that was placed in service, the cost of unit, what the unit actually does, where it's located, and whatever repairs are done, and also I guess you're going to probably want some type of date when you start looking to replace such a unit. That can take a bit of time, especially in a station like WBAI. It might take a couple of weeks with 3 people working on it. So there's going to have to be some type of funding there because I don't think we can count on the staff being able to give up that much time. WPFW is a slightly smaller station, but that's also going to take time and also... since that's not in New York, there would be some travel expenses and also lodging expenses. So that may be something that this committee wants to look at.
to seek funding for.
Question?
Sure.
Maybe I missed something, but why do we need to do this?
This is for planned obsolescence or equipment failure, basically so we can look at what equipment we have in the network and plan for replacing things as they break, and also seeing what's not being used and possibly share it across the network.
Okay.
This is Dave.
Yes, Dave.
Yeah, in terms of seeking funding, I just think we need, again, to... I do see that the seeking of funding is an operational issue, and we just need to identify that this is either a priority or it isn't, but recommend that the folks put this in the budget. We've got the national office budget that's still sitting there unapproved, that the finance committee is going to be looking at it. So if this committee wants to tell the finance committee that we need, to see where the exact, how much money they're putting in for this sort of thing, then that's something we can go ahead and do. We can say, we'd like identified, but we'd like them to make a recommendation as to how much money. The other question is whether inventories of stations are something that's going to be paid for by National, or is it going to be paid for by stations? And you can make a really good argument that the inventories of stations should be paid for by stations, because they need to know what assets they have available, probably more than National does. So then you have a question of whether that's in their budgets or not. And if it isn't, then we might want to make a recommendation that they put it in.
Okay.
But that's kind of a finance committee issue. From our perspective,
right,
the thing is, does this need to get done? Is it a priority? And I do think, again, we should just be getting the recommendation of the staff on those points.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Rob?
This is Rob. I agree with what Dave is saying, but I would like to remind the members of the committee that what happened last year is that the executive director announced that this inventory would take place, and then what happened was that there was no subsequent announcement to the stations that it would occur, and then there were no funds available to John and Pete to conduct the inventory, and so they were not able to actually travel from station to station to take care of that. So I think the thing that we need to be clear about is that there has to be a follow-through from management if this is going to be effective.
So is Dave?
Go ahead, Dave.
So we might just want, when we're done with the conversation, we may just want to send a note, noting that there was not follow-through on that. It was identified as an urgent matter, and that we need to see some follow-through. I don't want to craft the language off the top of my head, but that's our oversight function. And if it's not happening, then we need to comment on it and bring it to the attention of the board, I think.
I'm wondering why Bill Crozier thinks that this isn't urgent.
Well, I'm thinking just of all the things that people, the staff has to do at the stations. I know, like at KPFT, the staff there probably knows what they need to replace. But I'm thinking to give them, if you need an incentive or whatever, maybe we should ask them first to make an inventory of unused equipment that's surplus, so that they can understand that if we all do that, we can share equipment, like you were saying, and perhaps defer some purchases of new stuff. Other than that, I'm not sure there's a big advantage to the individual stations in doing it, unless I'm missing something.
Well, at KPFT, I think they have a pretty good listing of the equipment. I've talked to Steve Brightwell, who's the chief engineer there, and he actually sent me an earlier version of his hardware inventory, so it's probably not so much of an issue at that station. But it really does help, and this kind of leads into my next issue, which is a needs assessment. It really helps us to know what they have and how they're using equipment if we're going to go and take a look at what are the needs of the station. Now, that's even a bigger project than a hardware inventory, because since our product is really radio and radio production, you really can't do that with just the technical staff. You actually have to bring in programming. You're going to want to bring in your IT personnel, your national IT personnel as part of that team that's going to work with the station to conduct a needs assessment. You're going to want an outreach person to look at how they can go and put their best face out to the public so that people are listening to the programming that they are doing and see ways that they can increase their audience. And you also kind of want somebody from finance to basically be able to figure out a way to make this possible.
This is Dave?
Yeah.
Yes.
I just wanted to add one thing, which is, you know, given the distribution possibilities that are out there, one of the bottlenecks we're going to face is a bottleneck on production capacity. And if you don't know what you've got, it's hard to know how much to budget to expand what you've got. If you don't know what you're getting from what you've got, that's hard to do. So, like, at our station, you know, we want to get some more field packs. We want to get equipment that's going to let us go out into the community and produce and allow people to produce content out there. But I don't know the degree to which they're even tracking effectively. They may be tracking it, how that equipment holds up. I remember it used to be the case that field packs disappeared and broke all the time. So without keeping track of things, it's really hard to know how your resources are being used.
Yeah.
John, do you have an estimate of when there may be a list of the network's assets?
Well, I'm compiling it now. As I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks, we'll start working on that, and hopefully we'll have a good listing by at least the start of the listing, because one thing that I didn't mention is you also have to do an audit of your computer equipment. That's important also, and that would include auditing software packages that are on the systems.
Question?
Sure.
But John, when do you think you'll have that by? An outside date?
It's kind of hard because I don't have all the information. Maybe in a month or two.
But by January,
I'd like to at least have an update for you by the next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Question?
Yeah, this is Bill.
Wait, Bill, I think Dave was on the stack, didn't you?
Okay.
I've spoken. I'll yield to Bill and wait till he's done.
Bill?
Are you going to add a question about identifiable needs that stations already know about? Because that's probably the thing on everybody's mind. Like, here we already know of a lot of equipment we need and want.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's the first thing we'll do is talk to the people at the station and find out what needs they think that they need, you know, what type of equipment or what type of resources, because sometimes it's not equipment, you know, sometimes it's a resource that they need.
Yeah.
So,
all right, Dave.
That's going to be, you know, right now we're talking about the inventory, and that's kind of down the line.
Don't our auditors, when they do an audit, don't they keep track of a certain amount of depreciation? And we get a tax advantage. I mean, we're a nonprofit, but is there a tax impact of being able to note depreciation on equipment we have? I guess not. But
I think that's done.
Where does depreciation fit in to our story?
Well, I asked for some baseline inventory from the finance department, and what I received was not really useful because it wasn't that specific. I mean, I would see Dell Computer, Dell Computer, Dell Computer, Dell Computer, but it didn't tell me where it was stored. You know, was there a number attached to it? You know, it was really very vague. So.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Henry.
It seems, I don't know how to do about the fact that we just entered a new budget year, but wouldn't the ideal procedure here be perhaps to submit some kind of a resolution to the PNB that would mandate, you know, that a proper inventory be done and that it would be maintained thereafter on an ongoing basis and, you know, try to get the ED to agree that that was a priority that you would hold the GMs to fulfilling? It doesn't feel like this is really going to happen effectively, and if it can happen once, it's not going to be maintained effectively. If it's John tries to do it, scrambling to come up with little bits of time and money.
I'll second that motion if you make it.
I hear a motion.
Dave? Can I speak to that, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead. Well, Henry, do you want to follow up?
But wait, before he does it, can I just comment? So, Henry, the problem is that if every committee in the whole governance structure has conversations with staff, and there are more things that need doing in Pacifica, all of which are fully legitimate, than we can actually do. So we need somebody, i.e. the ED, in concert with the CFO, to list, okay, here are all the priorities. They're all of them. And we can't do all of them. Here's what we need to do in the near term. Here's what we need to do in the far term. Here's how we're going to schedule it given our budgets. If, on the other hand, we keep passing things saying, okay, you have to spend money on this, you have to spend money on that, then it's just a frenzy for who gets into the queue first. And we have 122 people involved in telling an understaffed office how to do things with resources they may or may not have. And to me, that eats up a lot of our time, and it causes a lot of problems for them. And realistically, what ends up happening is they manage as best they can with what they have, and they're juggling things. And we spend all our time saying, well, why wasn't this done? So to me, the proper structure is to say, for each committee to say, these are the priorities coming from this sector, and we want you to tell us how you're going to budget it and where it's going to fit. Now, Rob says that the outgoing ED, or the Greg, said, okay, this is going to happen, but we've got a problem in the way budgets are made, so that, you know, somebody can say it's going to happen, and then the money may not be there. Maybe Pete and John weren't consulted for how much it was going to cost, and when that was said. So there's something wrong with the whole way we're spending all our time, and I think it can be resolved by us saying, on this committee, talking to John and talking to Pete and getting their input and giving our opinions based on it, saying, in the tech area, we believe the following things are the priorities, and we would like to see
beeping.
No. Are these catwalking on their keypad?
Or something. Anyhow, so the upshot being that we
Hello.
Deliberate?
Who's dialing their phone?
No, it's probably deliberate.
Yeah.
We don't know who that is.
I hope that's not censoring. Stop it.
Could it be some kind of electronic interference some way?
Whatever. Anyhow, so the point being that we need some way to figure out how we're going to do this as a committee and say, here are the 17 things that need to happen in tech. We think these are the three most important. We'd like you to tell us how and when you're going to do it, as opposed to passing motions mandating things as they come down the pike.
So you're not really changing Henry's motion. You're just suggesting that it be prioritized.
What is Henry's motion exactly?
Henry?
I didn't make a motion.
You're in charge. Come on.
I didn't make a motion. I think was that Dave? I think that a lot of sense to that we need to do it in terms of priorities. But I'm not sure what the procedure for us as a committee at this moment would be. I mean, maybe we can sort of internally note. I don't know. I'm not sure where to go. for those who didn't understand what I originally suggested, that maybe we should make a motion asking the ED to require the management at each station to do a proper inventory, and with some details spelling out what's the proper inventory, and then asking them to maintain a database that would keep that up to date. On the other hand, I'm quite persuaded by Dave's argument, so I don't know whether a motion of the more limited kind that I was proposing would be useful.
Mary,
may I speak?
This is Vajra. Mary, who else? Was it Andrea?
No, Vajra.
Vajra, sorry. And then Dave. Anyone else? All right, Mary.
I'm not clear why we or anybody else needs to make such a motion. I mean, the finance committee, or not even the finance committee, just simply in an organization, inventories are kept. That's required. You have to be able to do this on a 990 on anything. I mean, this is part of your assets and your liabilities. It's just what is your inventory? So I presume, I mean, such things should be happening, and if they're not, I would think it's the auditor that should note, wait a minute, there's no inventory because that's just standard practice. So I don't think a motion is needed. It sort of makes it seem as if there's an option, and there is no option. So we might want to find out. We might want to make some kind of recommendation. Ask what is the procedure? Who is doing these inventories, or something of that nature? But I mean, they've got to be happening, and if they're not, it's a bigger problem than what the tech committee can address. It's the auditors, as I say, that should be pointing that out. So that's very faulty.
Okay, Vajra.
Yeah, I was going to say that my first question would be, are we very, very clear on what exactly, well, let me ask that question second and point something out first. WBAI did quite a complete inventory a couple few years ago, which I suppose they could add on to. And if what people need is an inventory, you know, an electronic form catching up, you can do it kind of the way they did library cataloging. You make sure that everything new goes into your database, and as time permits, you add the old stuff. But Mary's point is very well taken. But my question is, what is it that we, the tech committee, want this inventory for? Are we clear exactly about what we need this for?
Yes. I have an answer, but this is Pete, but I'll let you folks, if you want.
I think that begs an answer, yeah.
There's
several answers in there. The one that's, to me, most concerning is we need to be sure that what we have from a software perspective, we have proper licensing for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we use software at WBI. There's all kinds of software there. I'm not sure we have proper accounting for all the licensing. And if we ever get questioned on that, which happens, we need to have the right information to make sure we don't get in trouble. And in terms of the auditors, it's a matter of definition. If we need to make upgrades as an organization, we don't have the right, or if we want to do bulk buying or anything like that, some of our stations have the information at hand so they can do that relatively quickly. Some stations are farther from that. We have our auditors give some type of accounting, but it's like John said, it simply says X amount of this type of computer or something along those lines. It doesn't give anything specific about what software we're using, what hardware is in place or what's not in place. So it doesn't help operations, but it helps maybe finance. So we need something for operations.
Right.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, this is Rob.
Do you have an answer? Do you want to add to the answer, Vajra's answer?
Well, yeah. I was there anyone on the committee from last year that's on the call now?
Yes, I was.
Do we have an inventory from last year?
I don't think that I was given it. I don't think the tech committee had an inventory from last year.
Well, then I rest my case.
What is your case exactly, Ross?
My case is that we haven't done inventories. We don't do them, and it's like so many other things. We don't know what assets we have. We don't know what we need to do to invest in our infrastructure. And because of that, we don't have a policy for dealing with our infrastructure.
Excuse me, I'm not. May I ask a question? I don't see how.
If we're going off Vajra's point, like her question was, why do we need one? I'll allow it. Otherwise, we'll go to Dave, and I'll move to you, Mary.
Well, the question is, why does Rob say that proves we don't have one? The tech committee didn't get one. That doesn't mean that that inventories don't exist. So I would need to hear that from.
Who would have done it?
Well, all kinds of people. Staff would have done it in the very either national and or local.
But we know that doesn't happen, Mary.
No, we don't know.
I don't know how we
know that. Okay,
all
that's
right.
A different issue. I'm not clear. I don't.
Yeah, we're falling into.
Yeah, that's a different issue.
I would like to answer Vajra's question. I think that, and I'd like to be corrected, but it would seem to me that we're a network and we should know what we own. There should be a list of our holdings.
Right.
Okay, but my question was basically what the tech committee needs it for specifically, which Pete sort of answered. But Mary's right, it has to be done anyway.
Yeah, I think we're oversight, and our job is to look into whether or not, you know, the network is operating smoothly.
Bill.
Okay, Dave, then Bill.
No, we said policy.
I think one of the things we might do is a motion to the effect that that we are concerned to our knowledge and the knowledge of the national tech staff, adequate inventories of equipment are not available. And this is a priority, and we would like the executive director to propose an approach to resolving the issue.
Is that a motion?
Yeah, if you want, it can be a motion. But the other thing I was going to say is I think we need to hear from Pete and John a little bit further so that I think one of the things we should do out of our conversations is get a clear sense of out of the 17 things that need to be doing, what's their feeling about the three or four most important and what are the things that can wait? We need to know that there's progress on this front. What we're hearing was that there hasn't been any progress on this particular front. And so I think our oversight duty requires that we, you know, note it and ask for a resolution.
Can I respond?
Okay, go ahead.
Let me just say it simply. What I'm saying is, yes, let's do this, but let's wait till we get the rest of their report about what we need to get done and then do a motion that addresses all of
right.
it in concert. That's what I'm saying.
I think I need to get from the different stations what they have so far, and then we'll have some type of a baseline to look at, see how comprehensive a job they've done before we make any motions. Because some of the stations, I think, are doing a pretty good job.
Okay, yeah. Bill?
I guess I'm not convinced we really need to do this unless, playing devil's advocate, you know, rather than if I was at my station or any other station and was asked to do it, I'd want to know what's in it for me. And unless the network, unless Pacifica is going to be buying equipment for us, why do we need to spend our time doing something if we already know what we think we need?
Because it's hard to do it.
And we're running surfer licenses. I'll tell you, I mean, I've visited this before other places I've worked where you can have legitimate software that you've paid for, but if there's not a system in place to keep track of the licenses, then you won't know. And so just because you do an inventory of the software, it won't tell you whether or not you have a legal licenses or not. At least that's my opinion.
Well, that's part of the data you need so that you can figure out whether you have the. Then you have to do the next step and then connect the dots. But you need to know your inventory so that you can calculate your licensing situation. And for those members that aren't aware, a violation of software licensing, a software license violation is in the six figures per instance. So it's I think $500,000 per instance. So that's some companies could go, you know. Some companies are known to go after this kind of money. So, you know, we don't want to be in that position. I think we need this information, if for that only. And I think also what David said about having, you know, needing to know what we have in terms of production capacity, is another scenario. In the best case scenario, we should be preparing for the future by having this kind of information in place and bringing the stations up to par that aren't up to par. And this is part of that process.
Could I respond?
Go ahead.
I was just going to suggest that if we're worried about being sued or something because of software license violations, then maybe the appropriate thing would just make sure that the station managers know how important it is to keep track of that information. Because if they don't already have it for stuff they've got, it's going to be hard to get it. I mean, they could go back and dig out purchase orders and verify that they paid for it, but if it doesn't indicate what it was they bought exactly, you know, or which serial numbers on the purchase order, it might be hard to track. I just think that's something we need to, for the future, we need to make sure that if that's an issue, then we need to make sure that there's some sort of mechanism in place to keep that information up to date. But I'm not sure an inventory of the software is going to give you that information right now.
It's not just an inventory of software.
This is Dave.
Okay, Dave.
Yeah, Bill, in answer to your question, it's sort of a philosophical point you raise. You said if the network's going to pay for us to get equipment, then maybe, but otherwise, I mean, I think what I'm hearing is a sort of view of our operations as station-based, and I think a lot of that's going to be changing as digital distribution takes off. One of the larger issues we're going to have to deal with is questions like revenue sharing when Pacifica listeners are going to go to Pacifica sites, and they're not going to go to station. They may go through station-based portals, but they'll be drawing on content from everywhere. And we're going to need, I think, to start thinking of ourselves in network terms. And I do think it's appropriate for the network to have a clear idea of, at each station, what are its production capacities. So, for example, if you're going to roll out an initiative where you're wanting a lot of street sound or you're wanting production of a lot of new programs that are based outside the stations, if stations have radically different capacities to produce those things, they're going to have radically different relations to that to a network-wide initiative. And those things are going to actually have effects on you. So, you know, we can do it the old groovy way where the ED calls up the manager and says, well, how can you do this? But that sort of is not the the best way. I mean, that sort of informal communication about, well, what's your capacity? And, well, we'll decide locally what we're going to do and not do. And it's not really important. Leaving aside what Mary said about the necessity from just a strict accounting standpoint, it's still useful to do it, to know who's at what level. And my only question is, as compared to what other things we need to get done, where does this fit in the hierarchy of need? And I would personally like to move off this topic and hear what the other pressing issues are and then circle back around after we've heard each of those things and sort of get a sense of what the priorities are. And if a motion comes out to say, here are the issues and here is our sense of what the priorities are of these things is. And I also think that we may disagree at the end of this, and I don't want to spend time trying to convince you if you disagree with me or vice versa if we just go around and around the post. My arguments may not be compelling, but let's get those arguments out there, and then, you know, at some point a body has to move, so we'll move.
Like a segue to me. Okay, John, why don't you continue with your report?
Okay. Well, again, it's kind of what Dave said. If we don't know about the inventory, the needs assessment, doing a comprehensive needs assessment without really knowing what the station has, I mean, I can work off paper, but that doesn't really tell me that much about how they're using things. I'm sorry, I'm kind of blanking right now.
How's your blood sugar?
It's pretty low.
Yeah, I've
had.
Station, what are you talking about? You should be riding a crest.
Well, I can do a quick report if John is wrapped up at this point, because I don't know.
Well, I guess I have a few other things, but the needs assessment is really going to be based somewhat on the inventory, but and we kind of do little needs assessments. Pete and I do kind of little needs assessments constantly whenever we're talking to someone at the station or if we visit a station. We're kind of doing, you know, small, what do you guys need right now? That's kind of different than doing a comprehensive needs assessment where you're really looking at where they want to go in the future and having like a long-term plan, which is kind of where we're going with this whole project.
If I may, John, if I may say one thing to correct you real quick.
Sure.
And I appreciate it. I'm tired, too. It's been a long day, John. You know, the need assessment that we do is not like we contact the station and say, hey, what do you need this week? It's more like we get contacted and says, hey, this fire is going on, and we need a solution.
Well, that's true.
What can you do? So our needs assessment really are reactions to crises because we don't have the things like inventory and other kind of data in place, so we can be more proactive.
This is Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
You know, if you ever want to apply for a grant, you have to tell them what you have and what you need and why, and you can't do that without this. You can't tell them, well, we have some equipment, we're not really sure. But some of it's working well, and, you know, we still do seduce programming. But agencies don't get at that. So you can think of it as an investment in the ability to get grants to fill gaps that we can't fill with listener support.
All right. John, did you find your blood sugar?
Yeah, pretty much. To move on a little bit here to preparative for backups and emergencies, some of our stations have systems in place. KPFT, once again, has a system where they're using uninterruptible power supplies for their studios, and they actually have a generator for if they're, if the power to their transmitter goes out. So that's the type of system that they can have.
KPFT?
Other stations, KPFT, right?
But the studio, not the transmitter.
What? The studio they have actually a
studio has a generator but not the transmitter.
The transmitter doesn't have a generator also? I could have sworn that Steve Brightwell told me that he puts the generator in a pickup and can take it to the transmitter site.
They borrowed one. Unless that's new, I don't think he has one.
Okay, maybe he doesn't have one, but he can put the exciter, which is a much lower power than the actual transmitter itself, on a generator,
yeah,
if need be. You can't really do that at a station like WBAI because you can't put a transmitter. I mean, I don't know where you would put it. You can't put it in the building. They probably won't let you put it on the roof. So, and they're not going to allow a backup generator in the Empire State Building. So, it's kind of a different type of system.
Would you have a question?
Sure.
Would you consider expenditures on backups a must-have? Is it a priority? I mean, are we really out of line not having backups?
Yeah, well, backups is having a backup plan can be a huge issue, and it doesn't necessarily, we're not talking about just power going out. WPFW had a problem early in their fund drive. They actually had a problem that their T1 stopped functioning and they weren't broadcasting.
This has happened many times.
So we're working. Whoever's got like a TV in the background, can they turn that off?
Yeah. Good luck.
Okay. Well, anyway, so we're working with them on some type of a backup system that wouldn't be too expensive but would allow them to continue broadcasting in an event such as that.
I would like, you know, Rob says this a lot, and I hear it, and sometimes I hear things that are critical that don't strike me as critical. I mean, how bad, I mean, does it just go off the air, the radio, the WPFW?
Yes, it does.
The problem is that they rent a tower from WAMU, which is owned and operated by a university. I think that's right, a college or university.
American University.
American University. So, and the university isn't that really interested in upgrading their infrastructure. So there's sometimes a problem. They thought that they had it fixed about a half a year ago. I talked to both the operations director and the engineer, and they thought that they had found a workaround, but it seems to hit, and it can be a problem. I don't know if this specific instance was, it could have been actually the phone company that provides the T1 and not the university. But we have to find a way around.
Who has dogs?
Fairly.
I do, but they are not barking.
Sorry. Okay.
Okay.
So
we're looking at other systems. We're looking at an IP-based system, and we're working with the people in Houston to test that.
Do you think that affects fund drives and funding? And
oh, it definitely does.
Us not having a backup attack our sustainability?
Yeah, it does. And another problem has been, which isn't really WPFW's fault, they take the first feed of Democracy Now, and that gets, there's been numerous problems where suddenly the feed is not actually is not being broadcast over our KU satellite system. So that's really problematic, especially at the beginning of a fund drive, that there's an interruption of service, and then they have to wait, and they have to call up Democracy Now! And try to connect via ISDN. So we're working on a backup for that also, so that they won't, and the affiliates that take that first feed won't have that problem. So we're looking at a number of different backup systems.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Rip Robbins here, too.
Hey, Rip.
Are you going to ask a question, or are you just announcing your presence, Rip?
I've been on the phone since about 6 o'clock, but I have a question.
Okay. Dave, then, Rip.
Okay, Dave, yep.
I'd like to understand a little bit how this goes from the operational standpoint of, you know, you guys are identifying these problems on the ground, and how do they get communicated up to the, you know, to the ED and to the CFO? What kind of reactions do you get? What kind of authority are you guys given to make these decisions as opposed to what you have to check in before you do? And how does this stuff get handled as it comes up? If you could help us understand a little bit more of that, you know, one of the things we might do from a policy standpoint is say, hey, look, that's not a good way to do it. These people should have a budget and they should do it, or these people should be reporting to you, or whatever it is. But I'd like to understand what's the current state of communication about tech issues, and where's the locus of decision-making authority?
Well, when I hear about problems, we talk amongst the tech staff, and I try to come up. We discuss solutions, possible solutions. It usually doesn't go up to the, if it's a local problem, it's usually handled locally. And we wait, you know, I propose a solution, and they can pick it up, or they can, you know, or they can find another solution.
Well, when you're talking about now distribution, for example, let's use that as a concrete example. That's a big issue. So how's that being dealt with right now?
it really hasn't been at this point.
I want to go back to the WPFW.
Oh, hang on, Rip.
I'd like to say, I'd like to respond to that at some point too, but
okay, we'll take Rip, Bob, and then Pete.
But right. I wanted to say that this is another indication of another service that the that these employees at Pacifica can provide is aside from the part of equipment. Which I don't think they need to go into every office and check every closet. I think they could start as a good compromise with each station to get buy-in on this, that this is all about production, it's about operations, so those facilities need to be inventoried. And this kind of backup system, when the radio does go off, it really reminds one of, like, the old college radio days. And at my college, when we've tried to, get way beyond that level, and yeah, when the power knocks out our main transmitter, it seems like a catastrophe. And so it may not happen often on many of the stations, but I think it should be budgeted, and this is a service these employees could provide, and I think we should support the idea of this. And going back to what David said, and just this last point, that we do need a list, and I think that we've been getting some lists in the reports, but not in list form. And I think really, Pete, especially over the couple years that I've seen his reports, could kind of just deconstruct those if the committee needs a list to prioritize. I think there's a lot of this that's been in the reports, and we could get that information pretty easily, and that's good advice as well. Thanks.
And Rob.
Yeah, I just want to say I don't think this is working at all. But, for example, we've had the failures during the pledge drives year after year. And we know how to solve the problems, but the solutions aren't being applied. And that's one of the reasons why I think we need national staff that can tell the national office the truth about what it's going to take to correct some of these problems. For example, it's very easy with Internet streams if you have the right equipment to deal with signal interruptions. But if you don't have the equipment, it's not going to happen. The other thing that I want to point out is, and somebody just mentioned it, in terms of the obscenities, you know, we have the Eventide profanity delay systems at all of the stations at in Pacifica. The one at WPFW is not operational. Okay? Why not?
Well, it's operational, but it hasn't been actually put, in use yet.
It works, but it's not, and so this is the sort of thing that goes on and on and on with Pacifica, is that people make management decisions that they're not going to do things, and the whole system falls apart, or they decide that they're not going to maintain the infrastructure, and then we don't have a consistent performance during our pledge drives. And so, yes, we do need to do these inventories. We do need to do the needs assessments, and they haven't been done. And one of the reasons why we're not getting forward is because that hasn't occurred. And I appreciate what Michael and what John and Pete are trying to do in terms of trying to complete that, because if we continue this way, we're simply going to stumble and fail.
Pete. Uh-huh. Your turn.
Yeah, I don't want to keep on this for too long, because the meeting's been on for about an hour. But just because Dave asked a very specific question, that's, I think, rather relevant. We've talked about this in the last few months. I've mentioned a lot of things, but just to speak directly to how this thing works or doesn't work, as I said earlier, problems are often identified when they're in place, when the fire or crisis is happening, during and after the fact. John and I and other staff involved talk a lot with general managers, a lot with local staff involved, and with the executive director, in my case, in John's case. But the bottom line is that there is no budget. And this is a very frustrating thing for me as staff going on 6 years now, where I, a year ago, had to ask the new executive director at the time, Greg, for a $2 a month increase for a service, $24 annual impact. And he, as I said to this committee, I think in the past, perhaps you weren't on the call, that, you know, he said, what, are you kidding me? You're wasting my time for $24 a year, $2 monthly cost. That's when he realized that I don't have zero, any budget to work with. It's unworkable, this kind of situation, when we're expected to deal with crises and have no budget. We're often taking money out of our pocket to make things happen, having to get reimbursed. The assumption is as follows when with regards to budget. At least for 5 years that I've been putting proposals, that we start the national office budgeting individuals, whomever they are, and, you know, they start with an assumption that last year was okay and anything new is a bonus. My opinion is that that's not the case. We always start with a deficit in operations. We've started with practically nothing and make things happen. But everything that we propose, including John's made proposals for the last 2 years to solve, not expensive proposals, to solve the inventory and needs assessment, as well as we've discussed in great length what I've made, very modest proposals, I think. Everything beyond what happened last year, and not just, you know, for the last 5 years, is treated as a bonus and is discussed or framed as a wish list.
Right.
Literally. So this is this year's wish list. And where I'm saying, no, this is what we need to get the job done. And so we hear things like, and David, you've mentioned this a couple of times, and we've discussed this in this committee and last year's committee. I hear as staff from the CFO and executive director, these are all, everything new is a wish list, and we can't take you seriously, basically, unless the tech committee tells us what the priorities are. And hence, this year, that's why I've been very serious to push this committee to discuss budget. And in discussing the budget, we will collectively get a sense of what priorities are. And this way, there would be more weight when constructing these budgets, because thus far, we're not being heard. You know.
This is Dave.
Okay, Dave.
Andrea.
I think one of the key issues is that the overall structure, the administration of the tech initiatives is defective. You know, what I'm hearing is this, the whole process doesn't work. So we could sit in here and we as a tech committee could say, well, the wish list has the following priorities. But it sounds like the basic way in which our tech initiatives are organized and funded is not effective right now, and I know enough to know that there are issues between, you know, the executive director doesn't have enough budget authority and the CFO doesn't have enough executive director authority, if you will, and to really, in the way this thing is being done right now, it doesn't work. The left hand and the right hand are not working together. So I think maybe what our motion needs to be is saying, you know, here are our priorities. However, the major priority is that the planning and funding process for technology, for our technology needs, is at present ineffective and harming the foundation. And here are the examples. And one of the examples is the fact that, oh, we have a station that goes off the air during fund drive. Oops. You know, we should be informing the board of this, and the board should be sweating the executives to say, whatever the logs are, you have to solve them. And, you know, I fully expect, incidentally, that our incoming ED will address herself to this very rapidly and say, you know, this is what we're going to get done. This is how we're going to do this. But we as a tech committee should be letting the board know, yeah, a priority has to be how we plan and budget our tech needs. And it does go back to the inventory, and it goes back to other efforts to get certain aspects of what we need to do granted. I mean, get grant funds for it, because if we see that there's certain crucial things that we can't get done, you know, certain granting agencies aren't going to allow us to get grants to do basic infrastructural stuff, but some of the other things that we may be doing may be grantable, and that has to be quite quick. Bottom line, a motion to say our structure for dealing with this is inadequate and needs revamping.
Thank you, Dave.
Andrea?
I have two questions, one for Pete and one for Dave. Pete, when you say that, who is it or what is it that tells you, and do you believe that it's the case, that unless the tech committee tells us it's a priority, it's just a wish list. I mean, the tech committee just gave some priorities in the forms of motions. So do you have any faith that this is true, and who tells you that? That's my first question. Pete?
You know, I appreciate this board, this committee's support this year, but this committee will turn over in a few months, and I will have the same organizational or lack of organizational support. I have no representation on the board locally, no representation on the board nationally. I'm one of the few staff in the whole organization, paid or unpaid, that has no representation. So I'm in no position to name names on a public session and tell you who's keeping me from getting what I need.
I see. Okay.
Clear.
Yeah, all right. Okay,
sorry.
I understand. Point well taken. But I understand. But But what faith do you have that if the tech committee gave its imprimatur that it would go through? Do you believe that to be the case?
Honestly,
I don't.
Honest answer?
I want the honest answer. That's
turnover,
the one I want.
With once again, turnover in the board in the next few months, turnover in the executive director in the next few weeks, I have zero faith.
Okay, thank you.
My experience tells me that it's not going to happen.